So well, I forget sometimes to tell you who I am, and some of you are new. My name's Pastor Chris, and I've been blessed to be a pastor here at this church for 26 years. I was blessed to found this church in a little corner of Montrose, and to see what God does in our midst today. And today I want to tell you a little bit about that. Erica's job last week was to close out a series we've been in about what is a Christian, really? And she did a fabulous job. In fact, I wanted to talk to you guys because I got to watch her preach to you. And I got to be honest with you. You guys do things for Erica you would never do for me. Never. Seriously, I'll ask you, like, how many human beings are here today? And, like, eight of you raise your hand, right? Last week, Erica got you to do a Miley Cyrus sing-along. You won't raise your hand for me. And even the grumpiest old guys were like, yeah, I guess I'll sing. Like, the climb. And you're like, come, what is the deal? What do you have to do around here to get a little love? And Erica did a great job of wrapping up these beautiful parts of our series. And this week, the staff came to me and they said, she did awesome. We think there's more. We think you can't finish this series yet because we think, and again, everybody's got an opinion of what I need to do. We think you ought to tell the people in the church, like, this is what we ought to do with what we know. Because the Nicene Creed, right, that we've been looking at as we look at what it means to be a Christian, it talks a lot about belief. But belief is kind of this, like, a lot of us can assent to belief. We decide at some point, right? And you go, like, you believe in the tooth fairy, yay or nay? Like, nay. Like, probably not. Like, you think about, like, different conspiracy theories. Like, Probably not in. Gravity, I'm in with gravity. Like, definitely believe that. Aliens, during COVID, I believed it for a little bit, but I've moved past it. And you go, faith, yeah, I'm kind of in. I think I've decided I believe who Jesus is. But to really be a Christian is not just to assent to, like, I believe that stuff. It's really about saying, like, then what are we going to do with it? This is what I'd tell you today, that we don't just believe, we become something together. The purpose of the church is to become something. Dallas Willard says it this way as he describes what discipleship is and what it means. The discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. If Jesus was you, who would he be? What would he do? How would he love people? And that's the journey that we get to go on together to decide, what does that really look like? And here's the honest confession. Believing's kind of easy. Belonging is harder, and yet it's what we're called to. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the good things really happen. So I got four things I want you to think about today, and I want to share these with you and see where they take us. So the first is really about belonging. What does it look like? And this is what I'd tell you. It's an identity shift. What Sean told you at the beginning of this series was that the creed reminds us that this is a we thing, not a me thing. This is something that we walk through together. It's a communal, I tell you, it's an identity piece. It doesn't fit with American individualism. It's radically different than that. And in Acts 2, it begins as this kind of the original group project, the group experiment. This is what it tells us about the church in Acts 2, the early beginnings of what it meant for people that believed and how they stuck together. It tells us in Acts 2, verse 42, that the community continually committed themselves to learning what the apostles taught them, gathering for fellowship, breaking bread, and praying. You know what I love about the early church? You know what I hope you love about the sermon today? Is I'm going to tell you, if you're a part of the church, guess what you're going to do? You're going to eat with people. That's what you're going to do. You know what Christians do? They eat with each other, and they eat with people they don't even like yet. And you eat with them, and you buy their food, and you feed them. And food is central in what we do. They broke bread, and they prayed. And everyone felt a sense of awe because the apostles were doing many signs and wonders among them. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. They shared all their material possessions in trust. What does it look like, Ecclesia, to be these people that don't fit the American stereotype that are all about mine, 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 mine? And about ours, about no one having a need. It goes on and explains it this way. They sold any possessions and goods that did not benefit the community, and they used the money to help everyone in need. They were unified as they worshiped at the temple day after day. In homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. And the new disciples praised God, and they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people of the city. Day after day, the Lord added to their number everyone who was experiencing liberation. As people came to faith, they just got together and they learned to love each other. And that doesn't mean always that you're gonna instantly love the people around you. It sometimes means that you go, hey, I don't know what this looks like, but we're stuck together. So pass the pita bread. Let's continue to abide together, because guess what? I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know when sickness will come. I don't know when financial devastation may come. I don't know when your job will be replaced by AI. Anybody else worried? I'm just hoping they can't get a hologram up here to preach for me, right? There's a few things I can still do. I'm just telling you, I think I can do them pretty well. And I'm just gonna stick, figure them out, right? Bill Gates has a great quote. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just gonna offer it to you for peace. That he says, AI won't replace doctors. It will replace doctors who don't use AI, right? Anybody else heard that quote? Anybody care that was free? Had nothing to do with the sermon at all. Belonging, what does it look like? N.T. Wright says this about the church. He says, the church is the single multi-ethnic family promised by God to Abraham, living as a foretaste of the renewed creation. You know why I love to be in this church? Look around. Look at the diversity around you. Look at the people around you. Guess what? I know a lot of them. They're beautiful. They're not perfect. They're a little messy, but they're beautiful. And you know what? The things we can do together, it's unbelievable. And you know what? If you got a problem, there's somebody here that can help you. I promise. 100 times out of 100. In the early days of Ecclesia, we had this, before technology, we had this real fancy list. It was just an Excel spreadsheet. And we asked you when you joined the church, what do you have that you can share? And if you had a pickup truck, you had to put that down. Because the reason you have a pickup truck is to help other people move. That's why God gave you a pickup truck. If you have one and you haven't helped someone in the last month, you are living in sin. Right? And if you make great cinnamon rolls, you don't make them for yourself. They would kill you. You make them for other people. You make them and share them. That you have gifts, and your gifts are intended to be shared. And guess what? I'm not only better because you make good cinnamon rolls and because you have a truck, you're better because you share it. Because that's the posture of a life lived with an open hand. That's what they saw in Acts 2, and that's what we desperately need together. We're made, Ecclesia, to worship around a crowded table, to push together with diverse people and say, this is really good. And we don't just gather so that we can sit at the table. Our job is to set the table for other people. Our job is to set the table and say, come, sit. Let me keep your glass full and keep your plate full and show you the love of God as we get to sit together in the work that we get to do. We set the table for others. So secondly, what do? I believe, what should I do? Now, if you were like me, anybody else need your glasses to see but keep them so dirty that you can't see? Thank you. There were 14 people that raised their hands. It wasn't an Erica response, but it felt good. It was really someone was listening. Oh, these are amazing. I was just gifted a fashionable polka dot glass cleaner. Thank you. I'm going to put it in my pocket and use it all day. The sermon. Anybody else grew up like me and you went to Sunday school and there was this envelope? Anybody remember? Are there a few of you old enough? And the envelope in Sunday school, mine looked something like this one. And you had to check your Sunday school attendance. Well, duh, you were there. So sometimes that might be the only one you get if you were being truthful. Key words is if you were being truthful. Right, you brought your Bible. Anybody else remember lying about daily Bible reading and prayer? How many of you checked the box and you knew you did not read? And there's something about I just lied about reading the Bible daily. there is something off, right? And some of these actually gave you a grade at the end. Like, you got an A, you got 100 if you checked all the boxes. And if you didn't check all the boxes, then you didn't, right? And there was a sense of like, this is what it looked like to belong. When we started Ecclesia, I went, I don't think we're gonna use those envelopes, right? But we came up with some rhythms. We did think there's some stuff that you need to do. And so I'm actually gonna have them printed in envelopes because I wanna share, these are the six things we've said at Ecclesia. If you believe and you belong, these are the things you should do. What if you decided to be real? And by that we mean really who you are. Your struggles, your pain, your joy. It's what we're made for. If we're not real, we are wasting each other's time, right? And then above all, we're just gonna say, like, no matter what's going on in your life, would you just really try and seek to be kind? Because too often Christians had let this sense of being right lead them to a place where like, I'm right, but I'm not kind, right? You can keep it up there. That we said, we're gonna be a people that seek God. And by the way, this involves Bible reading. It involves prayer. But I'm gonna let you decide when you wanna do that and how often you should do that. But I'll tell you, if you're gonna pursue God, you're gonna wanna read the scriptures. You're gonna want to pray. And if you're not praying, I will tell you, something happens when you really learn to pray and you have offered something to God and you feel this exhale that says like, I'm gonna be okay. Like, I have handed this over to God and I no longer have to obsess over it. Anybody else have intrusive thoughts and you've learned, and I'm telling you, I have learned the only way to deal with intrusive thoughts, the only way I've been able to figure out how to do it well is to pray. And finally, when I say like, God, this is yours, it's not mine, I can stop obsessing and thinking over it. That we seek God. We said we're gonna be a people that seek beauty. And that means in the world and in nature, and that means in each other. It means you could sit down with a neighbor or friend and you could either be the kind of person that quickly goes, what don't I like about them? Or you could go, what is beautiful about them? What is amazing about them? And that we're gonna be a people, this is an important one. We just said, we're gonna be hospitable. Every week if you come, can you check the box and go, have I served someone? Have I offered kindness to someone? Have I brought someone else into my table? 2 weeks ago, I got to have the graduating seniors over to my house to share a meal. We had a fabulous meal. These kids, they're not kids anymore. They're adults. They're about to launch. They're amazing, right? And in the midst of it, I just had one of those nights that you're like, I am at my best when I got people at my table, right? And then we ordered pizza and had salad. And Kate Palmer is vegan, so I had to order one of those, and I had to call the pizza place and explain like 10 times, like, I want pizza with vegetables, but no cheese. And the guy was like, so on one side, you want cheese, but no, I'm like, no, 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 I want no cheese. And he's just like, why would you do that? Like, what? Well, Kate's vegan, and she doesn't want cheese, right? And then if you're around my place in Sharpstown, one of the best things of living in Sharpstown is that when you're done, you don't ever have to waste. Anybody else wasting food constantly and just like it's the bane of your existence? If you don't have teenagers in your house, this happens. If you have a homeless camp just down the street, you can always share. And so I brought the food down there and I passed out the leftover pizza and then one of these, this sweet little Latina, sometimes sweet, sometimes not, I gave her a piece of Kate's pizza and she said, ¿Qué es chingada? That means, what the hell is this in Spanish? He was like, pizza sin queso, por favor, right? She's like, what in the world? Why would you make pizza? I'm like, I know. It was Kate's pizza. And there's one more. Be hospitable. What was the other one? Wes, you got it for me. We're still on the rhythms. Serve others. You just decide, I'm gonna spend my life. This is our checklist at Ecclesia. We've said, these are the things that we're gonna do, these rhythms, that we're gonna come and we're gonna participate. I recommend that you come here on Sunday, that you take communion. Something changes when you take communion, that we gather and that we give. In Acts 4, this is what it says about how we give and how we share. that during those days of the early church, the entire community of believers was deeply united in heart and soul, such to an extent that they stopped claiming private ownership of their possessions. Now, many are like, this is really hard to figure out. This is all I can tell you, is that when you're a believer in Jesus, you do have a deep-seated belief that none of this actually belongs to me. I'm stewarding it. I'm caring for it. I got kids to raise, I got bills to pay, I got things to do, but overall, I'm held responsible for what's there. It goes on. He says, instead, they held everything in common. The apostles with great power gave their eyewitnesses reports of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and everyone was surrounded by an extraordinary grace. Not a single person in the community was in need. Because those who had been affluent sold their houses or land and brought the proceeds, the emissaries of the Lord. Then they distributed the funds to the individuals according to their needs. Then it goes on to explain that there was this one guy who got a nickname. Now, how cool would this be that you get a nickname for being so generous? This guy, we ended up being called Barnabas. He had a different name. But when he sold a piece of land, and people that didn't previously have a home, and people that didn't have something to eat, they did. They started calling him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, the one that encourages others. Wouldn't it be cool around here if we don't give a lot of nicknames? Maybe we should give more nicknames. And your nickname was like the one that helps others, right? The one that lifts people up. Like, some of you deserve that nickname. A lot of us do. That's the kind of thing that we get to do together. Dallas Willard, again, explains it this way. He says, the aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons. That's the work of the church. This community that's all-inclusive, that just is here to love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said similarly another way, the church is the church only when it exists for others. If you become a Christian country club, you're no longer a church. You know what I love about Ecclesia is that every time you gather here, we're reminded we exist for others. We're here to bring clean water to those in need. We're here to help people get homes that don't have homes. We're here to walk together. And guess what? If you go, I have a memory at Nestoy, and this would happen today if you were there, if you went to Simple Feast. I was sitting at a table with two people. I'll just tell you, one of them was a professional that is very successful. One was a Nestoy brother that had been on the streets for a little while. And in the conversation, you could hear this whole confession of, my life's a mess, right? I got two kids that won't talk to me. I made some really bad decisions. And I find myself isolated in a place where I'm in trouble because of the decisions I've made, right? Guess what? That person wasn't the brother living on the streets. It was the professional that lives in the Heights and has a home that's appreciated like crazy, right? Because life is messy, and our life is messy. In real Christian community, it always is. But it's in that mess that we gather together and we do our best to try to figure it out. And so I'm thrilled and excited at Ecclesia when I see these things happening. Right now, there's a new group that just formed in Humble. And this is what happened. We had one friend in Humble that said, we got a bunch of people that go to the church and we live around here, but we don't have a place to gather. I would host somebody, but I'm really insecure about like gathering and leading. Then we had another brother that lives in Humble that just said like, I could lead it if you hosted it. That would make it a lot easier for me. And together, they came together. And there's this really amazing group where people have found a home now. We got a new group on the East End that's flourishing because people have just decided, hey, I'm gonna come together. What does that look like? If you gathered on Thursday nights at our Lindale campus, this is what I would tell you. I've been eavesdropping and leaning into some of our new Lindale groups, and my Spanish is just good enough to get about 70% of what's going on. But beyond the words and the part I don't get, every person is so excited to be in a group where they can start with the basis of being real. And what I find is everyone has this sense of honest confession that leads to a kind of joy that's just different than anything I've ever been around. If you looked at our map of the city, Ecclesia, this is something of what it looks like with where people are all over our city. And you realize, like, we got a campus on the west side, we got a campus over in Lindale, but we have people all over the city. And if you look at it, this is what you would find, is that in a lot of these places where we have a lot of people, we're needing to have people that would do exactly what happened in Humble. Somebody would go like, I got a house I could host. I'd tell you this, in the same way that you, if you started an organization, they'd go find a president, a vice president, and a secretary. At Ecclesia, this is what I tell you. We could start a group if we had a host, a leader, and a bartender. If we had those three things, we could call them a food coordinator, all right? We'll make it a little more Baptist friendly. If we had those three jobs, we could host a group. And so if you look around the city, these are the different places in the city that we have a lot of people, and we need leaders in every one of these zip codes. So I'm just telling you, if you see your zip code there, that maybe you could think about, like, am I qualified to do one of those three jobs? Is there a place that I could access that might be able, and my experience, and again, life at Ecclesia can be a mess. And part of my experience is that many of you say, like, I would love to do that, and I'm definitely gonna do it as soon as I get some things together in my life, right? This is the last point. Well, it's maybe not the last point I'll leave you with. This is the myth. As soon as I get my act together, I'll do it. And I would just tell you, nobody around here is ever gonna get their act together. It's in the middle of the messiness. You know what I love about our church? 2 weeks ago, I was preaching, and if you were here at the 11, anybody around at the 11, and we told you you can't go to the bathroom, that was a bad day, right? Like, we literally had to tell you, like, all the bathrooms are shut down. Like, all we can tell you is worship Jesus and hold it as long as you can. That's all we can tell you. And you know what we found was that when we got, and we've had a historic problem with this because of the diversity of our community, we've had people come in and kind of shower a little bit with the paper towels and then clean off, and then sometimes those end up in the toilet, and that doesn't work, right? Well, this time we had it cleaned out, and they found two pairs of men's extra large underwear in the pipes, right? Now, I've checked with a bunch of mega churches in the city, and nobody else is having this problem. Like, we're the only ones. And I gotta tell you, it's messy, and by the way, it's expensive. So please, like, let's, whatever we need to do, let's. But I gotta tell you, I would rather be a part of a church that's messy. I'd rather be a part of a church where you might have to hold it every now and then. And you figure out, like, hey, you know what? I'm a part of this community, not because I've got my act together, but because I get to walk with other people and help them along the way. And I think that's worth it. So here's the image I want to leave you with. I feel like most of the time when I'm preaching, you guys are like me when I was in seventh grade, and you walk up on the top. They don't get to do this anymore. Kids have lost this rite of passage. Anyone remember going up to the top of the high dive at the public pool and walking out to the edge and then being like, this is way worse than I thought it was, right? And the truth is, it really wasn't bad, but getting yourself to take that step was really hard. It was a small step. It was just that, right? Well, you just got up there, and it was like the whole pool. Anybody had that experience where the whole pool was like, jump? It's like 50 people waiting behind you, jump. And this is what I would tell you. There are a bunch of you just like, you just gotta jump. You're out there on one of those zip codes, and we need you. We need your help. And maybe you're like, I don't know if I could leave, but I could probably order the pizza and bring a couple bottles of wine. I could probably do that. I could cover that part. We got some staff that would follow up with you and help you figure out if one of those roles fits. But we've learned, if we get those three roles, it's magic. You know what happens? People find a place they can belong. And when they find a place they can belong, they go like, if I go through a hard time, I'm not alone. And that feels really, really good. So we've got a new simple way. We're simplifying giving and some of these things. That all you can do is just text to 97000, participate. And you're not signing a contract, and you're not like, but you're just saying like, I might be able to fit one of those three roles, or I might do something else, but I need to take a step off the deep dive and realize like, the water's fine. In fact, it's pretty great. And if you lean that way, some really, really beautiful things would happen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it again this way, and it's true. If you find a perfect church, don't join it, you'll ruin it. You're not perfect, and neither is the church, right? But together, we're a part of something really, really beautiful. Walter Brueggemann explains the mission this way. He says, the world for which you have been so carefully prepared is being taken away from you by the grace of God. Guess what? None of you have the lives that you thought you would end up with. We all are walking through things that we went, I never thought I'd be here. And if you're not there yet, you will be, and I hope you're in a group when you hit that place. Because those are the people you turn to and go like, what do I do now? I've got a kid with special needs, and I don't know anything about this. And some other people come along, and they go like, we've been there, we'll walk with you. Or you just go, I got a kid, and they're hard, it's just a kid, and I don't know what to do with the kid, right? And you go like, again, I've been there, I can walk with you. But if you wake up every day and you're like, I got this, and I don't know what I'm doing, it can be a lonely, dark place. And our job is to say at Ecclesia, like, let's lean towards each other. And when we do that, we'll take care of each other. And don't forget that your job's not just to sit at the table. It's to set the place for the next person to sit at the table. And that's what we need you to do right now. There are a lot of people in our city that desperately need a church like Ecclesia. They need a place where they can be real and honest and who they are. They wake up every day and feel like, I'm a part of some really beautiful things in the world. Where you can come to shower day on a Monday and learn that you're the one telling the other person who may be there for a shower, how hard your life is because you've made bad decisions. And guess what? You look across the table from each other and you go, we're the same. People on the outside, they wouldn't think we're the same, but we're the same. And so, Ecclesia, I'm send you out with you're going to get a real benediction. But I want to remind you today as you go, to go, not to be awesome, not to impress anyone, but to belong. Go break bread with people who make you uncomfortable. Even people that voted different than you voted. Go and love someone who doesn't deserve it. Go and live like you're already part of something bigger. You're loved. You are weird. You are sent. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you. That in the place that many in the world can feel like, I don't have a place I can belong, that Christian community was offered in a way that everybody from every place, a multi-ethnic, diverse community could be brought together where we learn that we're the same even in our differences. And that when we lean towards each other in good times and in bad times, the good times are even sweeter and the bad times are not nearly as hard. They're not nearly as difficult. And so God, we ask that as many of us stand on the precipice of a high dive that seems like a really big deal, that you would give us the faith to take one more step, to lean towards you in a way that says we trust you. We believe in what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And we thank you that we get to be a part of the church, of the mission that is to love all people and to create a community where not only we can belong and receive, but where others can as well. Lord, may it be so. As we come to this table, draw our hearts together and unify the work that we get to do. As we get to share that one day we would be able to say in Houston, there was no one that had a need because they shared generously of what they had. Lord God, may it be so on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in your name, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.